This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. It's easy to get overwhelmed by a job search. You'll have more success, says today's guest, if you treat your search like a project, not a full-time job, and break your work into manageable segments. Emily Wong is here to talk about how to create a structure for your job search. She's a resume writer, a career coach, and the founder of Words of Distinction. Emily's company helps you land an interview through powerful career storytelling. She also hosts the terrific Career Cohort podcast. Emily joins us from the San Francisco Bay Area. Well, let's get started, Emily. Why is it important to have a structure for your job search?
I would say that we are taught early on, and I remember way back when I was starting in my career in, you know, I was in college and people were giving this advice to treat your job search as a full-time job. And if we think about that, that can be really daunting. Why? Because if we have a full-time job, we're working already 40 plus hours a week, right? And that, I'm being conservative because most jobs, full-time jobs are more than 40 hours a week. And if we pile on another hypothetical, of course, 40 hours for your job search, that's really daunting. And it's also nebulous because it's just, okay, another job search. What does that mean? How do I break that down? And even if you are volunteering or, and you know, you're not getting that paycheck, but you're volunteering, you're on a board, or you have a major role in a volunteer organization, or you're going back to school, those things take time and those things are important. Those endeavors are really important to advancing your career. So to then say, oh, there's this other full-time job on top of that, again, it's a little bit too much to handle, I think, mentally. So what I propose is that when you're going to take on this new endeavor of your job search, that you instead think of it as a project. And you can put an end date on there, but also just as important is that start date. And then you fill in the elements of what's going to make up that project. Like any other project you're going to do, whether it's your new kitchen or your project that you're working on for the PTA.
And how does that help you with your search, treating it like a project, not like a full-time job? What benefits do you see come to job seekers who take that approach?
Well, I think I'm going to start with that. I have five pillars of an approach. And that first pillar is that you put it on your calendar with a start date, a firm start date, and it becomes intentional. So if you're like me, if you were to say, okay, I'm going to have a job in 3 months, or I'm going to have a job in 6 months, fine, you have that out there. But if you're like me and you don't put that first date or that first block of time on your schedule, that time is going to get filled by something else. It could be a quote unquote urgent email, or it could be some extra volunteer thing that you signed up for with a PTA that you don't need to be doing right now, right? But if you have it on your calendar, you're going to be more intentional. And the other thing is deciding, okay, within your week, then you lay out that workflow cadence. So, you know, we've heard about the LARC and the owl. So some people have more energy in the morning. Some people have more energy at night. What is that ideal time to be working on this project? And so I work well in the morning. So for an example of how I would structure it would be, maybe I say Monday morning from 8 to 10 o'clock, I'm going to work on my research of companies. On Tuesday from 8 to 10, I'll do the same thing. And maybe I do that all for every weekday, right? If that's not going to work for me, I could still say maybe every other day. So schedule Monday, 8 o'clock to 11:30, Wednesday the same, and then Friday the same. Now, I would not recommend interrupting those days with more than one day. So if it's every other day, keep it at that, but I wouldn't say skip 2 days, because you want to have that momentum and you want that steam to keep your momentum going for your job search.
Okay. Let's step back there for a moment, Emily. So you put it on your calendar. That's pillar number one. And you also encouraged listeners to pick an end date and work back from that date and set aside a certain number of hours in the course of a week. How do you recommend in your work with clients that they choose that end date? What is the best way to know that it's going to take 3, 6, or 9 months? And then secondly, how do you figure out how many hours in the course of a week, whether you're employed full-time or perhaps between positions, to devote to your job search? What's your best advice there on those two points?
That's such a great question, Mac. I would say as far as that long-term goal, there are a number of things that could play into that. One is, do I want to stay at this job for one more year, for example, but I want to be prepared if someone calls me? So that could determine what that timeline is. If you have a sense of urgency, then you tighten that up. And then during the week, when you're breaking that schedule down, you're going to have to play around with it a bit. And I would say if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, you can start with a half hour on Monday and put that schedule, by the way, schedule on Sunday night if that's possible, because then you have all that scheduled out for you during the week. And you're going to want to tweak that. So if you find that, okay, a half hour is not enough time, but I'm getting into this, my momentum is picking up, I'm going to expand that to 2 hours or 3 hours. And again, you experiment along the way.
And what about somebody who is between positions? How many hours in a typical week would you recommend that someone spend on a job search if they're not doing it 40 plus hours? What should they do?
I would say, if possible, 3 hours a day would be ideal. And I want to say that I am a parent of 2 college students. I've been a parent of young children, but I've never been a parent of young children in the age of COVID. So I understand that some things need to move around. Maybe you move your time to the evening. But you will figure out what that cadence is as you're working on those projects.
And why 3 hours a day? Why not 5? Or clearly, if it's not a full-time job, it's a project, 8 isn't the right number. But what makes 3 a good recommended number?
I think 3 is because it's manageable for your mindset. I think, you know, and when I say 3, by the way, I'm saying an hour getting up to stretch, go for a walk, another hour, take a break, another hour, take a break. I think that the other thing that you're going to be working on is those volunteer hours. You need to upskill, you need to maintain your skills so that you're attractive to the next employer. And skills are changing all the time. Requirements are changing all the time. So you really want to stay on top of that. On the other side of that, the 3 hours is ideal because once you get into that flow, you might find that you're actually really enjoying this. So if you're doing company research, you're going to find that, hey, I'm getting into this. I'm going to continue and then keep working on it. And I'm not saying that it only has to be three either. You can, if you're into it, expand it for that day, and then you can have a shorter period the next day.
Terrific. We're going to take a break, Emily. When we come back, Emily Wong will continue to share her advice on how to create structure for your job search. Stay with us. Your resume is one of the foundations of your job search. It needs to support everything you're doing. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. An expert writer at Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Find out what works and doesn't work in your resume. And if you don't want to fix it yourself, you can hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Emily Wong. She's a resume writer, a career coach, and the founder of Words of Distinction. Emily's company helps you land an interview through powerful career storytelling. She also hosts the Career Cohort podcast. Emily joins us from the San Francisco Bay Area. Emily, before the break, we were talking about how to create structure for your job search, and you have a set of pillars that you take your clients through for creating structure. And you mentioned the first one, which was about putting the search on your calendar and treating it like a project and picking an end date and setting aside a certain amount of time every day for job search. Now, your second pillar for creating structure for your search is to have a budget. What kind of budget do you have in mind here, Emily? Are we talking about time or money? What do you have in mind?
Well, first of all, I'd say that it should be a guilt-free budget. One of the things that I have found, even in my own business, is setting up your budget before you start your project. I mean, you would do this for any other major endeavor, correct? I mean, if you're building your bathroom or kitchen or whatever that might be. And the same applies to your job search. And the reason I recommend that you do it up front is that you want to kind of get your head around what those expenses are going to be, because there will be some expenses, and depending on who you are and what you need, there will be a range. The other thing is that you don't want to have to make that decision about what you're going to pay for in the moment. So if you know in advance, my monthly budget is going to be this, and you discuss it with your partner. By the way, I do discuss that with my husband because we make financial decisions together. And if you make that decision with that person, you don't come across an expense later and say, oh my goodness, is this going to be okay? And especially when we're in job search mode and we don't have a job, we can feel like we're not deserving of having that budget. And if we want to be, you know, feel fabulous when we're going to those interviews or we're presenting our resume, we deserve to feel fabulous, right? So that is my suggestion there, is to get that budget laid out really, really on in your project.
What are typical expenses that you see your clients incur in a job search? What kind of costs are we talking about?
Well, the low-hanging items are, of course, your haircut, your attire for your interviews. Even if you're going to be online for your interview, it just feels good to have that fresh clothing or have your haircut and be ready for that interview. The other expenses could be gift cards for people who are helping you along, right? The people you call in your networking circle who give you time, maybe 10 minutes of their time or a half hour of their time, it's always nice to follow up with a gift card. I do that all the time when someone helps me out. The other thing that you might spend money on is a networking lunch, or an in-person coffee, or if you need help with a coach, or if you need help with your resume. These are all things that could creep up. And so if you kind of think about those in advance, it's helpful.
Your third pillar for creating structure in a job search is to break your search into manageable segments. How does this help you, Emily?
So this is something that I've learned from my own experience. Again, going back to that feeling of, you know, my job search is so big and it's so nebulous. And when you think about it, it can be a little overwhelming. So what I do in my own projects and what I recommend to my clients to do is break it down into the smallest part or segment that makes sense, so that when, if you take it down to that level, it doesn't feel so overwhelming. And here's an example. You might say, write my about section for LinkedIn. Well, that's 2,600 characters. So just saying, write that, my job, my about section might even sound daunting. So if you take that down to the next level, you could say, collect or come up with four pillars of my success, the four pillars that make me successful in my career. And so you work on that part, and then you write that into your block on your calendar, that that's what you're going to work on. Or you say, I'm going to work on my branding statement at the top of my resume. And then you put that in, rather than say, write my resume, because that can sound very big in the moment. And then there are other areas. Maybe you feel a little bit overwhelmed about your cover letter, but maybe you get your cover letter written as a template, and there are certain elements of your cover letter that you can reuse. Maybe the closing statement won't require a lot of changes. So you say, okay, I'm going to write my cover letter template. And from there, then you can write the next day, you can say, write cover letter for company A, write cover letter for company B. And then you have this kind of this momentum that you're building on, and then you're obviously then you're going to tailor it for each company.
What stops job seekers from breaking their search into manageable segments, and how do you see people overcome that barrier?
I think that we tend to schedule things on our schedule as the big item. And if you look at it that way, that can be very challenging, and it's hard to step through that because you're not sure exactly what that item is. So if you're thinking too big, it's going to be more difficult. But if you break it down into a smaller element and you use an action verb, you're going to find that it's easier to take on that task. Again, going back to that analogy of, you know, working on a house project, you would write down, get bids from, you know, such and such construction company, right? You would list that, you would put that onto your calendar. And that doesn't seem so daunting when it's written that way, or you're looking at it that way.
The fourth pillar on your list of five pillars for creating structure for your job search is to batch projects. What do you mean by batching, Emily?
Well, if you batch your projects or you batch your mini projects, you're going to save time. And the reason is that if you line things up and you sit down and you say, for example, I'm going to research companies within this 3-hour block, and you get in that mode of research, your mind is set on that research mode, so that when you're transitioning from one job, say from job A to, or I'm sorry, from company A to company B, it's not much of a transition. the same thing with cover letters, as I was just talking about. You write that, if you write that template and then you write another cover letter for company A and then you write another cover letter for company B, you will have to edit those, but you're still in that cover letter mode. Another example could be where you're trying to build your network on LinkedIn and you write a note. And by the way, always write a personal note on LinkedIn when you're connecting with somebody. You don't want to use that default message. But then if you do that compared to the other way of managing your tasks, which would be, so for example, answering an email and then writing your cover letter and then making a networking call, those require transition time and much more transition time than if you were batching your mini projects.
The fifth and final pillar of your five pillars for creating structure for your job search is to keep a journal of your achievements and your challenges. Why is this a good idea?
Well, you know, career stories are so important because they're going to come up in your about section. They come up in your cover letter, in your resume to some extent, in your interviews. And you want to have that collection of stories. And if you're just beginning your project, it may require that you go back. This may require a couple of hours, right? Because you might need to find your performance reviews and pull things, that information up. And so you pull that information up, you collect that information, maybe put it just in a Google Doc, collect that. And then as you move forward on a daily basis, you keep track of your achievements and make them measurable. You want a data point. For example, if you're increasing revenue, you don't want to just say, I increased revenue significantly. You want to say, I increased revenue by more than 25% every year, right? So you want to have that information. And then the other thing is, you also want to keep track of your challenges or your struggles, because there are two reasons. One is you want to learn from those. And the other reason is that the interviewer is always going to ask that question, what kind of struggle have you had and how did you deal with it? And it's not so much the struggle they care about. They really care about how you solved that problem. So you want to have that collection of both your achievements and your struggles and how you overcame them. And as you do this on a daily basis, it's going to take you much less time. And what a fun way to end your day, by keeping that diary. Maybe it takes you 15 minutes to write down something that you achieved, but you do that and you're going to be much more prepared for your resume when you actually have to deliver it.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation, Emily. Now tell us, what's next for you?
Well, I'd love to connect with anybody who's interested. And if you do connect on LinkedIn, please share if you heard me talking to Mac in this podcast. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. So it's Emily SF, as in San Francisco, Wong on LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter. It's @careersEmily. You can also follow me on wordsofdistinction.net and sign up for my newsletter there. And I'm also giving a free outline of these five pillars to help you with your job search project. And that's at launchyourjobsearch.com.
Terrific. We'll be sure to include those links in the show notes as well as on our website article. Now, Emily, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about how to create structure for your job search?
I would say that as you're building the structure, allow yourself to make little tweaks and adjustments and see what works best for you. One of my writing mentors, Ann Janser, once said, treat whatever it is that you're working on as an experiment and continue to tweak. And that also applies to your job, your experiences in your job, and you know, as you go through your job search and you're talking to people and you're interviewing, treat everything you do as an experiment. And if something, you know, if you run into a challenge, you can call that experiment had a little bit of a setback, but you're not talking about yourself as failing. It's more of that experiment. And I just think that's wonderful advice.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Omar Garriott. He's the global head of education for Qualtrics and the co-author of the new book, Linked: Conquer LinkedIn, Get Your Dream Job, Own Your Future. Omar has also worked as a university career coach and advised students ranging from high schoolers to executive MBAs. Many professionals think of LinkedIn as a landing page for your resume. If this sounds like you, Omar says that you're missing out on opportunities to use LinkedIn to make your job search easier and faster. Join us next Wednesday when Omar Garriott and I talk about how to unleash the power of LinkedIn. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton-Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislinberry-Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.